Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay and Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey guys, what's up? How's it going?
I'm good. Glad to have you on the show. I'm glad that everybody could check out the show. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Mets. You know, their recent status with Jacob DeGrom, and how, you know, they have a divide on whether or not to extend his contract or not, you know, before the season. And we'll also talk about, you know, Luis Severino agreeing to a deal with the Yankees with the extension. We'll also talk about the Knicks at the All-Star break, some players participating in the All-Star festivities. You know, we'll talk about that. And we'll give you a preview of the upcoming Elimination Chamber pay-per-view event. But most importantly, guys, you know the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. Glad to have you on the show. So, with that, without that further ado, let's just dive into baseball. And now, basically, you know, congratulations are in order for Luis Severino. You know, he was able to agree to a 4-year, $40 million contract extension with the Yankees. I mean, he had an up and down year this past season. He started off strong, and then the second half, it went the opposite way. He was horrible in the second half, and people were speculating that he's tipping his pitches, which led to his you know, horrible second half. What's your thoughts on that?
I thought it was great. I mean, they avoid arbitration, you know, by signing him to that deal. And, you know, he's one of the best young pitchers in baseball right now. You know, if we lose this guy, we lose one of the top aces in baseball. But like you said, he had a great first half last year. Second half, not so much. I mean, it wasn't a bad second half. It just wasn't as good as his first half, you know, especially the postseason where, as you mentioned, that he is sipping his pitches. So, you know, he's still a young guy. He still has room for improvement, you know, and, you know, his stuff, man, is like, you're not going to find many pitchers with the stuff that he has. So glad Yankees were able to give him that extension, sign him to that deal, and keep him a Yankee for now. And hopefully this upcoming season we could see bigger and better things for Severino.
Absolutely. You know, it was a smart move by the Yankees, you know, locking up a guy, you know, with the four-year extension. And he should have a bounce back here. You know, he's a very talented young guy, definitely part of the Yankees' future. And, you know, he should continue to do, you know, amazing things with the Yankees. On the flip side with the Mets, you know, the Mets, they announced that, oh, well, before I go to the Mets, you know, Cesar Sabathia announced that it's going to be his last year
yep.
in baseball. So, you know, it's the end of the era with a tough veteran lefty, a guy who's, you know, called, you know, the Bronx home for about a decade now. So it's going to be the end of an era.
Yeah,
in the Bronx for him.
Definitely a future Hall of Famer. I think he's, what, 3 or 4 strikes away from 3,000 strikeouts, I think. So, So, yeah, it's last year. I mean, it's, hopefully he makes it special, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. You know, the season's going to be starting next month, so we'll see. We'll see what he's going to do in his last year, you know, before he retires.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Mets, Jacob DeGrom, you know, they're still having, you know, a divide between the Mets and Jacob DeGrom, giving him a contract extension. And basically, Jacob DeGrom gave them an ultimatum to sign to extension, or he's not going to negotiate during the season. So Mets definitely need to get the act together and lock this guy up, because this guy, coming off of last year, he's the best pitcher in the game. He had no run support. He earns this. You know, he definitely deserves the contract extension, because if he has another year like he did this past year, man, he's going to be asking for a ridiculous amount of money. So hopefully they can get a hometown discount a bit, but you know he's going to be getting paid a lot of money. So it's going to be most likely north of $20 million. So, you know, they got to lock him up, man.
Mets are playing with fire. If they don't, like, do something now, give him some type of extension, because the way Mets are with money these days, you know, they better give him an extension right now before he starts commanding more money. And, you know, based on his numbers, I mean, this guy could, you know, go to any other team, be an ace, and lead them to the postseason just by himself, you know.
Absolutely.
So the Mets have been, you know, they're treading, they're playing with deep fire right now. So
mm-hmm.
You better get their acts together with this guy.
Absolutely. It's non-negotiable. On brighter Mets news, Nicky Callaway announced the obvious. Jacob DeGrom, for the first time of his career, he's going to be the opening day starter for the Mets. So, you know, congratulations to him. A much well-deserved honor. But, you know, what's going to make it sweeter is if they can, you know, lock him up like the Beagle Boys from DuckTales, man.
Yeah.
Give him a new deal. They need to get him the deal.
Yeah, remember, back in 2015, there were rumors. Well, 2015, I think it was Matt Harvey threatened to shut himself down during the postseason run, right? But this is not like Matt Harvey. Like, Matt Harvey's not the pitcher that Jacob DeGrom is, you know. No, Mets weren't, you know, never serious about, you know, signing or giving Matt Harvey an extension. But this guy, you definitely have to give him an extension. No doubt about it.
Yeah, he's definitely been the Boy Scout on the team.
Yeah.
You know, as good as Matt Harvey was at that time, you know, as a Mets fan, you wanted him to sign, you know, for them to, you know, sign him to extension, you know, before all these surgeries he had, like a thoracic outlet surgery and the Tommy John surgery, you know, and then of course, you know, the off the field, you know, partying stuff that, you know, affected his career with the Mets.
Right.
You know, Jacob DeGrom, you know, he's, you know, been level headed. You never hear him have any, you know, off the field incidents with him. The only incident he had with the Mets was basically when his former agent of last year, I think his name was Brody Van Wagenen, which happens to be the current GM of the Mets.
Yep.
Was saying like they should you know, sign him or trade him, you know, sign him to extension or trade him. Now, if Brody Van Wagenen does not agree to a deal, he's going to look like a hypocrite, because when he was Jacob DeGrom's agent, you know, with the CAA, he wanted the Mets to stop playing around and, you know, sign him to the extension. Now that the tables are turned, he better make sure it happens, you know.
Yeah, that's better not playing around.
I know. So, They better do it. I mean, they have the young pitching. You know, they got DeGrom, Syndergaard, Mats, Wheeler, who was arguably the best pitcher in the second half. You know, obviously other than DeGrom, you know, all season. So, and then of course, unfortunately, they have Vargas, who improved in the second half. You know, once the Mets was out of it, thanks to him, you know, missing the start of the season with an injury and then his ineffectiveness. So Mets are really banking on a lot that Jason Vargas, the weakest link on the team by far, is going to bounce back. So
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Who's going to have the better season next year, this upcoming season, Severino or DeGrom? Who's going to have a better year, you think?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. I think generally speaking, you would assume it'd be Severino. He got that, you know, the Yankee offense, so he should have more opportunities to win more games. But I think DeGrom's going to be the better pitcher. Will it translate to wins? More wins. That's remain to be seen, but I think DeGrom will have a better year. Will be better than the two of them.
You know, I'm biased, you know, so I'm going to go with Severino, you know, because despite Severino's, you know, so-so second half, he still finished with a 19-8 record, you know, which is pretty good.
Well, yeah, because he was dominant in the first half.
Yeah.
He was dominant in the first half. That's why his record is, you know, is always going to be great, you know, overall, you know.
Yeah.
Especially beyond that Yankee offense team, you know, that great offensive Yankee team. So,
yeah, I think he has Cy Young material. I mean, if he could stay consistent all year, I mean, this guy, you know, this guy could be dominant, you know. Be like Pedro-like, Pedro Martinez-like. So, we'll see.
Yeah, he definitely has the, you know, the ability to do it, you know, and the stuff to do it. So he's definitely, I think he'll definitely improve from last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Yankees definitely don't have to worry about that for sure. Except for, you know, it's the other guys who they need to stay healthy, like Tanaka, CC in his last year.
Yeah.
And see how Paxton, how he adjusts to pitching in New York.
Yeah,
better
definitely.
Than Seattle. So, which is the same thing you could say for Edwin Diaz, the closer for the Mets, who they got in the Cano trade. You know, he had the most saves in the game last year with I think what 51 he had. If I'm right, maybe 50. No, I think he had 57. So. Yeah, he had a phenomenal year. You know, we'll see if he can adjust to New York, and then of course, you know, the Mets have brought back Familia, so they'll have another guy who has success in New York to lean on. You know, to set up games for him. So
definitely,
I think easily the Mets pitching is the strong suit, their strong suit. You know, other than Vargas. And they have to stay healthy. Cespedes announced that he's going to come back sometime this season, whether it's he's 2 months away, 3 months away, a month away, you know, he doesn't know. So I'll believe it when I see it, because
whenever he wants to play.
Yeah, whenever he wants to play. The Mets are, you know, if they're pitching or playing the way they're supposed to play, and the hitting adjust, you know, with Chili Davis as their new hitting coach, which I think is going to be a plus for the Mets. You know, their offense will improve. I mean, they can't be any worse than they were the first half of the year, barring the first, what, 12 games of the season, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they'll definitely improve. And if Mets want to shock the world, you know, they're hitting have to improve, and the pitching has to, you know, perform the way that, you know, the back of their baseball card is expected to show if these guys can stay healthy. So we'll see what happens with that. And then shifting to NBA, the Knicks finally won a game on Wednesday night. They beat the Hawks. But the bright spot of the Knicks has definitely been Mitchell Robinson, their center, and also Dennis Smith Jr., the guy they got in the trade for Porzingis. And unfortunately for him, you know, he lost to Hamidou Diallo from OKC, you know, because in the finals he missed the dunk. So, but they gave him a charity 7 points. I thought they were just gonna give him zero, but
they gave him points for attempts.
That's what happened. So he wasn't out of it, and then he had the dunk, the perfect dunk. And but Diallo, man, he sealed the deal with that dunk. He had I'm trying to remember.
Shaq.
I'm not talking about that dunk. I'm talking about the last dunk he did. I think it was against over Dwayne. No, it wasn't Dwayne.
Oh, over Quavo, Amigos.
Yeah, right. Exactly. When he dunked over him and, you know, grabbed the ball and dunked it, you know, he had over his head and he grabbed the ball and dunked it.
Yeah, that was nice. But his best dunk on that was definitely over Shaq. That one was the best.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, hands down. No doubt about that. So he definitely deserved it. You know, congratulations to Diallo, you know, winning the 2019 Slam Dunk Championship. And then afterwards, another guy on the Knicks who played in the All-Stars weekend was Kevin Knox. He played, I think he scored 11 points when the US, Team USA beat the world. Kyrie Irving was the coach. And for that team, who obviously Kyrie Irving is one of the players that are rumored to be coming to the Knicks this summer, hopefully with Durant. But here's what remember a few after Porzingis got traded, Durant didn't want to answer questions,
mm-hmm.
But this time he answered questions about the Porzingis trade. He was saying, I play basketball for the Warriors, and my main concern is to be the best player I can be every day. I have no concern about trade moves or transactions throughout the season with other teams. That doesn't concern me at all. That has nothing to do with me. And with Porzingis, he said, I'm glad Porzingis is in a better spot for him in Dallas. I look forward to seeing him and Luka Doncic play together for many years to come. And about his him coming to the Knicks, he said, I don't know. About him leaving the door, about him leaving the Warriors, you know, in the offseason, he said, I don't know. That's on them. I'll figure out once we're done playing. And he also talked about his friend DeAndre Jordan, who also was a highlight of the Knicks so far, averaging a double-double every game. He said, It's my friend that got traded. He's in a good place, and he understands what the business is like. We talk more about life, more than NBA. He'll be fine. Okay. So he didn't shoot down the rumors as we speak right now. You know, we'll see what happened in the summer, July 1st.
Because
Knicks need him desperately. As badly as they needed LeBron James to come, in the decision year, that's how badly they need Durant to come. Because if Durant don't come, even if they sign Kyrie Irving, it's not going to be enough to turn this team around. They need Durant. Kawhi Leonard
is going to need more than Durant.
Good, you know. Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they got they they need two superstars, obviously, but they at the minimum, they Durant has to come. And then if they get Durant, anybody will come. Whether it's whether it's Anthony Davis, after the 2020 season, or anybody else, Durant has to come. There's no doubt about that. And speaking of Davis, he also talked about the rumors about him coming to the Knicks. And they asked him, why would he want to come to the Knicks? According to him, he said to the reporters, it's a great franchise, playing obviously in the Garden, the city, but obviously Milwaukee is in that list too. And then he further said, big market, small market, it doesn't matter to me as long as winning is involved, and that includes the Celtics. Well, actually, that doesn't include the Celtics because they weren't on his list.
We'll see if that happens.
I still think he's going to get traded to the Lakers in the offseason, and they fired their GM, Demps. Because they failed to trade Davis. Before the trading deadline last week. So yeah, we'll see. But props. Now that I think about it, NBA, I think that one of the Nets players won the 3-point contest.
Oh yeah, Harris.
So congrats to him, and props to the Nets. They're really playing well this year. They're shocking the world. They have more wins than they did. They almost have as much wins as they did the entire season. I think they had 32 wins last year, and they already have 30. So, congrats to them.
More exciting team than the Knicks to watch right now, that's for sure.
I know. That's why Knicks got to be worried about the Nets, Lakers, and Clippers. Even Clippers is a threat,
Yeah.
Because all three of those teams, beside the Knicks have cap space for two superstars, so Knicks better watch out. Nets haven't been scary since the Jason Kidd era. So
yeah, that's true.
You gotta watch out for them because you never know. People might start super teams in Brooklyn like they did when Kevin Garnett came over there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
We'll see what happens. Or should I say, when Morning came over there too around that time. So. Let's see what happens. Hopefully Knicks can make the right decisions and get some players to come here. But let's see. We'll see about what happens in a few months from now. Let's just dive into the Elimination Chamber. What's your thoughts on this pay-per-view?
I'm not as excited as I was for the Royal Rumble. But I guess, it should be a good pay-per-view to watch. There's a few matches that, I'm interested in watching. But other than that, I'm not really pumped up to us. I'm not pumped up for it, honestly.
Yeah, I hear you. There's a few matches that definitely is worth watching for sure. Up first is Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin. Is obviously not one of those matches we're looking forward to. Braun Strowman's gonna beat him for the 1,000,000th time. I mean, who cares who wins with this Strowman versus Corbin match? It's a no disqualification match, so I'm assuming there has to be some type of interference. But who cares what happens anyway? But
yeah,
Strowman should win. And Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush versus Finn Balor in a 2-on-1 handicap match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. I could see it going either way. I have a feeling Finn Balor could win, but Bobby just won the title like Like, was in there last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago?
It'd be kind of...
More than that.
How long did
He's had it since the Royal Rumble.
I think he had it just after the Royal Rumble.
Really?
I think
Didn't
so.
He go into the Royal Rumble with the Intercontinental title?
Yeah, but then the Royal Rumble was like a few weeks ago. Even though it
right.
was in January.
Yeah, but he had it like before that. Just before the Rumble, I think.
Let me see. Who do you think's gonna win?
I think Lashley's gonna find a way to retain it somehow.
Let me see if I can find out when he won this title.
Oh yeah, I see it. January 15th.
January 15th. Okay,
so
that was officially a month ago. So yeah, he did walk into the Royal Rumble. Yeah, you're right. He did walk into the. Right, you got it there.
I think he'll retain it.
I guess you're probably right. I guess maybe Finn Balor will take the title off him, maybe at WrestleMania or maybe even Fastlane. I think it might be too early for him to take the title off him. So, I'm agree with you. Lashley will retain. All right. Let me see. The matches we have here. We got Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa, singles match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Yeah, I mean, I don't care. I don't really care, but I guess Tozawa would win it.
I think Murphy would retain it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with that either way. How about The Miz and Shane McMahon versus The Usos for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship? I think, I mean, realistically, Usos should win this match, but I think they're going to make The Miz and Shane hold on to the title.
Yeah, this could go either way.
They're going to find some way to do it.
This one could go either way, because I could see the Usos winning it. And by the way, they're talking about the Usos. Jimmy Uso was just arrested for some reason recently. I think he was squaring up to a cop or something. So I don't know if that's going to change the outcome of the match, but I guess I'm leaning more towards The Miz and Shane McMahon retaining it, I guess.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on that one. I definitely think I think Shane will single-handedly win the match. I think Miz will get attacked by the Usos, maybe get put through a table or something, and then Shane will just go coast-to-coast on one or if not both of them and win the match by himself. So I think Miz and Shane will retain the title. Moving on to Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott, singles match for the women's championship. I mean, we all know Ronda Rousey is gonna win. Ruby Riott was saying like people are looking past her, like she's not a threat. And generally speaking, she would be right, because. She definitely, if she was built up more, she would be a credible women's champion contender. But Ronda Rousey is that unstoppable train, express train. So Ruby Riott's just gonna be another victim to Ronda Rousey tomorrow. So Rousey will retain.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Ronda's going to retain it. I think it'll be a tough match, but I think I could see Ronda winning it by disqualification with what's her name interfering? Sonya Deville? Is it Sonya Deville?
Oh,
forget her name.
No. Wait, Sonya Deville is in, she's not in the Riot Squad.
I mean, what's the other, you know, the
Oh, yeah, Sarah Logan and, what's her name again? I see her face. What's the name of the other one? Liv Morgan.
Right, right. I can see them interfering and helping her out to win the match. Try to win the match, and that ends up being...
They're
going to
try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that happening. And speaking of the Riot Squad, the aforementioned Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan are going to be competing in the first ever tag team elimination match for the first ever WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. They're going to be facing off against the other aforementioned Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, the Iconics, which is of course Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, versus the Hog and Boss Connection, which is Bayley and Sasha Banks, Naomi and Carmella, and Nia Jax and Tamina. Now this is a tough one right here. It's more either going to be Nia Jax and Tamina or Riot Squad. But I think it's going to be Nia Jax and Tamina that's going to win it.
I would lean, yeah, WWE or even, I could see WWE even pulling one over, maybe even crowning the Iconics as champions.
Oh, yeah, that could happen. You know what? That could happen. That's a good one. That is a good thought. Because they are like the tag team version of like Alexa Bliss. Like they always find a way to promote these girls. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Iconics.
That's a good out of the box choice. Because Nia Jax and Tamina are the obvious choice. The Wyatt Squad would be a second one. Would be the second one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Iconics. Yeah, Iconics is a good one. Naomi and Carmella, I mean, that's a fan favorite, and obviously Bayley and Sasha Banks. But yeah, I think I'm sticking with Nia Jax and Tamina to hold on to the title.
Yeah, they're favorites.
And last but not least, you have the new Daniel Bryan defending his title in the Elimination Chamber match, the WWE Championship. Versus the real AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton versus Samoa Joe versus Kofi Kingston. And yeah, this along with the elimination, the women's tag team elimination match. Those are the two matches that are the two marquee matches for tomorrow. And I could see it going either way. I mean, I could see Samoa Joe winning. I'd love to see Kofi Kingston shock the world and win it after that his amazing performance in the Gauntlet match, even though it was in a losing effort eventually, even though he eliminated a few Hall of Famers during that Gauntlet match. But I think Daniel Bryan is going to retain it. And how is he going to retain it? If he gets outside interference by Eric Rowan. And this is my pick. How he's going to win. Luke Harper makes a surprise return and sets up the victory.
Wow.
Maybe attacking AJ Styles or Kofi Kingston. And basically, Daniel Bryan retains the title one more time. Me personally, I'd love to see Kofi or Samoa Joe win it. I mean, both of those guys never won it. You know, Kofi, you know, he's paid his dues for the last 11 years in the company. And it would be great to see him finally win that title, you know. And Samoa Joe as well. I mean, he's been in the company for a few years. Not including NXT. So it'd be great to see him. It would be great to see any of those guys win it, especially Kofi. If he doesn't win it now, tomorrow, he's never going to win the title. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I see Daniel Bryan retaining that paper mache title belt. I see Luke Harper coming out and helping him, or you know, him just finding a way to win it. But yeah, but I think when all said and done, he'll leave that event with the championship.
I'm with you, man. You have anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Just check out my show, iMac, Saturdays at 10, and come back here, check out Sportsman Legend on your box at Radio 11.
You heard the guy. Check out his show, iMac, every Saturdays at 10. Check out, come back next week for our all-new episode of Sportsman Legend, every Saturdays at 11. And check out my YouTube channel, Sportsman Legend TV. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace. We'll be right back.